Welcome everyone to ITE 1 Class 1 Orientation. It's good to have you all here. My name's Kylie Maloney. I'm the primary instructor and Elise Lonsdale here is my mentor and supervisor. I'll start the introduction simply because I'm talking and I'll ask Elise to go next and then we will do a round robin from the top of the list. So as you've heard, my name's Kylie Maloney. I was where you are this time last year. I was sitting here wondering what on earth to expect, wondering what I've got myself into, and thinking, okay, we'll just have to go with it and see what happens. Now, little did I know how much I'd be enjoying it, how addictive it would become, and how passionate I would become about passing on what I know, which is why I'm here now, sitting here doing this, instead of joining you and feeling just a bit wondering what on earth I'm doing. Actually, I do feel a little like that because it is my first time out, so we're all first timers here. We can all be a little bit nervous and we'll all take this journey together, hopefully. Apart from computing, I'm not really a geek, I'm more of an all-rounder. I have been a singer, I've been a broadcaster, an amateur theatrical. I love to read, sci-fi fantasy, Discworld, Tolkien, that kind of thing. I have a lot of interests, actually too many to do any justice to any of them. I'm just a generally nosy person, which is, I suppose, why I made such a good member of the media. And that's me, really. I'll hand over to Elise now, who's my mentor and supervisor, who's been around a lot longer than I have, and she can introduce herself.
Thank you, Kylie. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. That's my catch cry, and you'll hear that go out on the Discovery lectures because I'm also the Discovery 1 instructor for this term. You may have seen my emails go out late yesterday at Australian time or earlier today on the other side of the pond. I've also sent a correction to that because a couple of the dates were wrong. But I will be looking after you in Discovery for people who are in both courses or for anyone who wants to come in and see what Discovery is all about. We do welcome people from other courses irrespective of whether you're officially sort of signed on to that course. I've been in CAVI for about 3 years. I'm reaching the end of my CAVI career. I will be no longer with CAVI after the middle of the year. When I joined CAVI in 2008, I was a student Dr. Ian Murray from the Curtin University asked me to become an instructor when I was about 18 months in. In actual fact, I had finished most of my CAVI at that point. I realised the dream of teaching when I was still a student, so I really did the IT1 course when it was in 4.0 as a formality because they then had the IT2 course running, which I did. Professionally, I'm a web developer. I make websites that have, we try and pride ourselves on accessibility, of course, for obvious reasons, easy navigation, and that also look good visually. I'm fortunate enough to be in that, well, I don't know whether it's fortunate or unfortunate enough to be in that part of the spectrum where I've got a foot in both the sighted and the vision in the blind world because I actually have 10% vision and I do stretch my vision to the nth degree, I can tell you. What else have I done? I have a community sector background as well as a corporate background. I've worked on a number of help desks. I've worked in a couple of training environments and I began teaching vision impaired people right back in 1992. So I've been at it for a little while. So I've got a little idea of what works, what doesn't, etc. I hope you enjoy your time at CAVI, everybody. It's a wonderful organisation to be involved in. And I'll hand back to Kylie, who's in charge of today's proceedings. But once again, I'm in the looking after people for Discovery and assisting Kylie on this. So welcome aboard, everybody, and back to you, Kylie.
Thanks, Elise. Okay, now let's get to the introductions. I'm sure you'd love to meet one another. I'd love to know who all of you are. Of course, I know some of you. So let's start at the top of the list with David Allen.
Okay, hello, everyone. Yeah, I'm Dave. I've been I guess around a bit. I sound a bit misplaced because I was in lived in the States for probably 38 years or something like that before moving to New Zealand 9 years ago. I am largely self-taught, so I really know my way around the machine, Windows-wise. Don't have any Mac experience to speak of. I'm totally blind from birth, though, and so came up through the system, as it were. I'm proficient in Braille, and have worked with embossers and Braille displays and all kinds of things. I'm in the IT Essentials course with the idea that I might learn structurally what I may not have discovered on my own, and so looking forward to anything that I can gain that way. Other hobbies have been a licensed ham for about 35 years now, and I guess that probably has more than anything to do with my way of exploring and discovering things as I have. And in the ham radio arena, my primary interest has always been the use of Morse code. So I have achieved some pretty high speeds with that, and I've taught it. Otherwise, do a bit of music here and there. Being originally from Appalachia, of course, very much into bluegrass and traditional country, things like that. And oh yes, so now I'm in Dunedin, New Zealand, which is most of the way down the east coast of the South Island. And that's me.
Thanks, Dave. David Rankin, your next cab off the rank.
Yeah, thank you, Carly. Good morning, all. My name's David Rankin. Yeah, good day from what is a windy and wet Rockhampton in central Queensland, eastern side of Australia. We've been experiencing some of the effects from the cyclone that struck up north last night. My normal home location is Adelaide, South Australia. I've been holidaying up here, and I've had my stay somewhat extended. So fortunately, I have wireless broadband, but the connection hasn't been as good as I'd like, so we've been struggling against that. And as you can hear my voice, I'm also struggling with a heavy cold, so I won't be too long with my profile, but it's nice to hear everybody there. I'm looking forward to participating in CAVI. I did dip my toe in last year, but work, family and other things, I really didn't give it a fair go. Looking forward to doing that this year. Just a brief history on myself. I'm middle age. I am functionally total. I've got low vision, but I don't have enough to use magnification, totally voice dependent, but certainly I can appreciate what Elise was saying, being able to use the residual and plan for both, and I guess if I had that residual vision, I'd certainly be able to benefit from what she has done. As regard to educational, well, work background, going coming from current to previous, worked in public sector, private and NGOs, and as I said, I've been redundant for the last 18 months from my previous employment. Unfortunately, we got defunded or lost some of our funding, so unfortunately some staff had to go and we had to downsize. Background, Unfortunately, when I went through the education system, we didn't have the assistive technology we have now, and we didn't have the visiting teacher system. So unfortunately, I sort of fell between the cracks. Had too much vision for a vision impaired school, and not enough for a sighted school. So I'm still trying to find my niche in life and trying to gain some qualification. I believe that Cavi will certainly enable me to pick up some qualification. I look forward to working with everybody. Like David, I have just recently become an amateur radio operator, even though I know he said he's been involved many years. My interest is fairly new. I enjoy country music. I have a guide dog. He's my best mate. He happens to be out here in the dining room with me and listening intently. So if I nod off, hopefully he'll pick it up. But anyway, I'll keep it short and listen to everybody else. Thanks, Collie.
Well, welcome back, David. I hope that this year you achieve what you want to achieve. Next is Kate.
Oh, well, I can't come anywhere near any of that. I'm not working at present. I do a little bit of braille transcription and production for people who can't afford the costs of the major producers. I'm married with a 17-year-old daughter who's about to start her final year at school. We live in central Victoria, about 95 odd kilometres out of the centre of Melbourne, in a little, well, it's not little exactly, about 6,000 people here. My work, I've done everything from switchboard to consumer advisory, as a customer information officer. I've taught braille and computing to blind and vision impaired people. I muck around with my computer a fair bit, installing and uninstalling programs, trying to understand why it works and why it doesn't work, and mostly not understanding. And so decided that I would do this course in order to understand why the computer works and doesn't work, and see whether I can actually make it work a bit better for me. Also, I have a home network here, and I'd like to be able to understand more about how to get the network to work better for my daughter and I. And because we're in a smaller country town without all of the expertise and variety of computer assistance here, I thought if I could understand a little bit more about computers and how they work, I might be able to reduce the amount of help that I need from other people, and maybe save a bit of money along the way. So that's why I'm really looking forward to the course. My interests basically are reading, music, and a lot of sport. I love tennis, cricket, and Aussie rules, real football. Okay, that's about me. Back to you, Kylie.
Well, I won't argue with you at the moment about what's real football, but there we go. I hope that we can help you with your networking situation. I think we can probably manage that, Kate. And we move rapidly north for our next participant, who is Kim.
Hi everybody, I'm Kim and I'm from Ontario, Canada, and it's really cold here right now. We had a huge blizzard and I think it's probably almost over, if not over. I haven't ventured outside except to check the mail. Let's see. Well, I heard about Cavi and was quite happy that there were courses that I could take that wouldn't involve me fumbling around in a classroom setting, possibly with some accessibility issues. Let's see, what else can I tell you? I'm totally blind, so I use the Great Shark, and let's see. Yeah, I like NVDA as well, and I like using both. I've always been interested in computers because, Well, I've had to because they've broken on me and I've had to fix them. And, well, I don't know what else to tell you. I enjoy playing the flute. I'm a musician, and although not professionally. And that's about it.
Well, Kim, I hope we can help you to fix those computers, and when they break again, you'll be able to handle them all by yourself. Marshall, you're next.
Hi, everybody. I'm in relatively warm Utah. It's only 20 degrees now, but that's warmer than it probably is in Ontario. I've been working with computers since I started college way back in 1969 with punch tape and punched cards and teletypes, big machines. Done a little bit of programming, a little bit of database. Took the JAWS course that Jackie and Elise offered last year. Found out about Kavi, and I'm just finishing up ITE 1 from last semester, and thought I'd take Discovery 1 to see what it was all about, knowing I'm not ready for Carrie's exploration class. Guess that's about it. Oh, I do have one question. The correct time for this class is on February 4th at 2100 hours.
Hang on, hon. Sorry, what was that, Marshall? I missed the question.
The time for the class, it's February 4th at 2100 hours.
That is correct. February 4th, hang on, I'll just check that.
But it is 2100 UTC.
Hours. Yeah, because the addendum message...
Thursday, February 4th. It's Thursday, February 4th at UTC at 2100 hours, which will be Friday morning Australia. So at exactly the same time tomorrow, the Discovery course commences at exactly the same time tomorrow. So whatever the time is in your time zone, advance 24 hours and you'll be at Discovery.
Okay, because the email you sent out said that it started on the 3rd. But now I know
that's
it's
correct.
Friday,
Thursday,
I'm safe.
Thursday is the 3rd of the month. There is no such thing as Friday, it's the 4th, well, 4th is a different day, but Thursday, the 3rd UTC, 2100 hours, is the Discovery course. So in other words, it must be Wednesday afternoon where you are at the moment, right?
That's correct.
Yep. So for everybody, it's the same time that Jackie and I did it last year and the same time of, which is Thursday evening American time. We seem to like that particular time slot. It works well, and also it did for the JAWS course as well, so it's all good.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I had my days right.
You do. And you'll be welcome. You're booked in for that, I assume?
I am.
Well, I'd love to have you aboard. It's great to have our students returning.
I think you'll really enjoy networking, Marshall. It's great fun. At least it was for me. I got really quite into it. Anyway, next on our list is back to the south again. We have Narissa.
Hello everyone. I don't really quite know what to say except that I'm basically self-taught up until now, so I thought I'd take Discovery 1 because I wanted to learn more about computers, which have always fascinated me. I'd rather be able to do a bit of maintenance on the computer rather than calling the technician in all the time. Basically just an interest. I've always wondered about the theoretical workings of computers. I live in Melbourne, Australia. Our main agenda after I finish this course is travel. My husband is retired and we're going to become grey nomads, but not till after I've finished this course.
We've just you already
got our
are.
Own van. Beg your pardon?
I said you're already a grey nomad.
Anyway, my main interests are computers. We've also got two beautiful dogs that I adore, and two other beautiful dogs that belong to my son, who we babysit a lot. Reading's another interest that my husband and I share, and that's about it for me.
Thanks, Narissa. I hope you really enjoy Discovery 1. Now, someone who's been with us before and who is back for another go is Paul. Are you there, Paul? Paul, are you there? Can you hear us? Okay, on to Paulette. Welcome, Paulette.
Thank you. I live in Selma, Alabama, and I have my guide dog, Radar, who is, I'm rubbing his tummy as we speak. We live by ourselves. We don't have family here. It's just us. I have two Microsoft certifications under my belt in Word, one in Word and one in Excel. And I'm hopefully trying to be employed by taking the iTech 1 course here and beginning to improve my knowledge of hardware on the computer. And I want to get my hands inside of it is what I really would like to do, because if other people can do it, I figure so can I. And I am totally blind. I'm 49. Let's see, Radar is my third guide from, my first guide from Guide Dogs of America in Sylmar, California. And I would not trade him for anything. He is the perfect match for me. We never argue over anything. My hobbies are reading. I have a Skype prayer group that we host on, it's actually 7 days a week. We have different people that host. I am the keyboard player for my church's worship band, and that's about it.
Excellent. Well, it won't be too long before you'll hopefully be getting your hands inside a computer. But we'll come to that a little later, Paulette. Thanks, everyone, for that. It's great to see you all here, and it's nice to be taking this journey with you. And speaking of journeys, this one, I anticipate, will take us about 21 weeks. A bit of information for you when you get a chance. Yes, Dave?
I was supposed to make sure that I extended Paula's apology for missing this orientation session. She's in the office working, and hopes to catch up with the class soon.
Thanks for that, Dave. Just to fill you all in, Paula is Dave's wife, and she's also a student in this class. It'll be good to see Paula joining us when she can. But the orientation, as with all of the lectures, will be up on the website for all to download. So if you do miss a lecture, there is no real problem with that. You can always download it. Now, back to the course. As I said, I anticipate it's going to take about 21 weeks. There are 16 modules, and the course is basically divided into two parts. We have chapters 1 to 10, which is the computer fundamentals. We do everything from showing you how to choose the components of a computer, build it, install its operating system, talk a little bit about laptops and printers, and introduce you to the basics of networking and security and communications a la help desk, which is Elise's favourite subject, I know. Then, from chapter 11 to 16, we get into the slightly more advanced, where we go again over some of the fundamentals and just build upon those. Now, there's a final module for chapter 10, which is mandatory. The final for chapters 11 to 16 is not mandatory, because what this course is aiming to do is align us with the CompTIA, the Computer Industry Association A+ exams. So what we've done is we've decided to make the practice final and the final for chapter 16 a pressure drill, which means if you want to sit them, they will be done in reduced time, just as you would if you were doing a CompTIA A+, because you have a lot less time to do that than you do to do the Cisco exams. So just be aware of that. But we can always talk more about that closer to the time, and we can talk a little bit more about A+ in next week's first lecture. Okay, that's the basic structure of the course. As you might realize, there's quite a few resources that we have to offer here at CAVI and at Cisco to help you do the course, and I'm going to start by introducing you to the Netacad site. Is there anyone here who has not got a Cisco account? No, I think you all have. That's pretty good. Okay, as you know, it's http No, www.cisco.netacad, netacad.net. Now, the page is a little bit tricky because there are two logins, as you already figured out, and the best way to get to the graphical login, which is the login you want, actually there are two ways. The first way is to be at the top of your page and press H until you hear the words Academy Connection. Then you press the tab key and you should hear graphic login. Graphic being the operative word here, because if you don't hear graphic, you're on the wrong login. Once you press enter on that graphical login tab, you should hear do not bookmark Cisco Academy. And once you've logged in successfully, you should hear the words Academy Connection. That will tell you that you've logged in successfully. It may be a little bit wait before the actual page comes up after that, but if you hear the words Academy Connection, you know you're in. And for those of you who are in listener land who have not got an account, if you need help setting up, please, please, please add me to Skype. My name is Kylee, K-Y-L-E-E, lowercase, dash, the, dash, Kelt with a K. That's K-Y-L-E-E, dash, the, dash, K-E-L-T. Please get in touch with me as soon as, because it is vital that you have a Cisco account. You cannot sit exams or do anything like that unless you do. So it's really important. Okay. The Cisco site, so I'm trying to read with one hand here, also has a lot of other resources that you can use, mostly after graduation, although you can actually read the curriculum from the site. One of the reasons that Cavi has done a lot of hard work is that the curriculum on the Cisco site itself is in Flash. And if you enjoy Flash, that's all very well, but most of us who are blind don't, in my experience, so we prefer to read it from the QCAT site, which Elise will be talking about in a few minutes. But if you want to access the curriculum on the Cisco site, you can. You just log in, click on your class, which is ITE1, of course. It'll have some funny letters after it, but it's basically ITE1. And you'll find all the resources in there that you will need, including how to take assessments. Now, speaking of assessments, there are 16 of these, one for each module. That's not including the practice finals and finals. And there is a skills review. Now, I know we've had a few skills reviews already and you're just about skills reviewed out, but this is Cisco's version, and the reason we like you to take it is because it gets you used to the exam environment online. It's pretty simple, but there are probably a few things you should know. Firstly, to take an assessment, go into your class, which is ITE1, after you've logged in, and then hit the link called Take Assessment. You can do that any way you want. Use the JAWS links list or whatever takes your fancy. Once you're in there, the assessments which are active will be showing up on your screen and you'll click on the one you want. Now, all of you will have checked the box that says you want accessible content, so you will be able to choose how many questions per page that you desire. I think the default is 5. I prefer 1 myself. It just makes it easier, but some people like up to 15, that's fine. The questions are multiple choice. You're dealing with mainly simple radio buttons and check boxes. Just a little trap for young players here though. The checkbox questions are the kind that say check all that apply. So if you check more than the required number of answers, you'll get no points for that question, even though you got the answers right. So if they want 2 answers and you check 3, you'll get no points, so just be aware of that. At the end of the exam, you'll get a screen with various things on it, including a grade exam link. Once you press that, you cannot go back and change your answers, so I'd recommend that once you fill out the exam forms, you go back and check your answers to make sure they're the ones you want and make sure that you haven't missed any of those radio buttons or check boxes. And once you're satisfied, then you can go ahead and hit the grade exam. Because once you've hit that grade exam, you cannot go back. Any questions so far?
Yes. Are the exams timed? Because I know with the Microsoft, they were timed.
Yes, thank you, Paulette. I almost forgot they are. You have 2 hours to complete each module exam. Now, that is heaps and heaps of time, believe me. even though the modules in this new 4.1 curriculum are, the exams are a little bit larger than we had, Elise and I had as students, you'll have between 20 and 30, sometimes up to 35 questions, but you should be able to complete those in way under 2 hours. Having said that, if you want to take the 2 hours, you're quite free to do so. There are no extra points for doing it faster. So there's plenty of time there to go and check your answers and mull over the diagram descriptions. Now, Elise will talk more about that when she talks about what's on the QCAT site, because there are plenty of resources, including exam diagram descriptions. Suffice it to say just here that when you sit an exam, you will need the diagram description that pertains to that exam, so you must obtain it from the QCAT site before you sit the exam. Otherwise, you're in the proverbial. Okay. I think we've just about... Oh, by the way, if you've got your pop-up blocker on, turn it off for the Cisco site, because it opens lots of lovely new windows every time it does something. Well, just about every time. And it will be really annoying if you have to go and manually introduce those windows. So it really does help if you put your pop-up blocker on. Okay. I think we've covered all that we need for that.
I'm sorry, Kylie. Did you say you turn your pop-up blocker on or off?
Turn it off. Allow all pop-ups on the Cisco site. That's what you set it to. Because otherwise you will find you're going to have to be manually allowing those windows each time that you want to take assessments and do other things on the site, because the Cisco site is good at opening new browser windows. So I really recommend that you allow pop-ups for the Cisco site.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Just one more thing before I hand over to Elise. The exams are activated each week. I'll put them up on a Tuesday, my time, afternoon after the lecture, and I'll announce that they are going up in the CAVI announce list. So they will be active for 1 week. That's the standard here at CAVI. We put the exams up and we allow, and they're active for 1 week. So they should be there any time you want them. If they're not, just get hold of me and I will reactivate them if they haven't been activated or if there's a problem. And just before we leave the Cisco site, you can join the alumni after you've graduated. I haven't found any great benefits from doing so yet, but it means you belong to a community of other qualified Cisco professionals, and that can be beneficial for networking if nothing else. And I'll now hand over to Elise to talk about QCAT.
Okay, thank you very much, Kylie. Help desks, you'll keep. Right, okay, because they're not my favourite. So that's why Jackie did no. That's why I don't usually do the chapter 10. All right. The QCAT server is the server that is in the training room over in Perth at the Association for the Blind. It's largely administered by Kerry Hoth. And that is where you'll need to visit to download a number of different resources. If you hit qcat.org, which is www.cucat.org, look for a link that says Student Resources. There's only about four links on that page. The rest of the website is probably largely irrelevant if you're on that page. So just go to the Student Resources, and everything under the Student Resources is relevant. So here we go. There are exam descriptions, which Kylie has just mentioned, and it is, as Kylie said, recommended that you acquire those before you sit your exam. What I generally did is I went and pillaged that server as I was starting out, and I actually have a back-end login to that anyway, so I can get more material off that and as an instructor now contribute to it. But eventually, look, guys, if you can get these sort of things down prior to commencing the class proper, it's less stressed that you have to do. If you're sitting down, I think I'll sit chapter 3, module 3's exam tonight, and all of a sudden you go, oh my god, I haven't got the picture descriptions, and it's a fuss around to get them. Oh, if the QCAT server's offline, you can't get them. So I would suggest maybe over this weekend, jump up on the server and start downloading stuff. Build a directory structure. Most of you are competent enough here to know how to set up your own little private versions of CAVI and have your picture descriptions in a folder and have your worksheets, get them down as well. They're up on the server, get those down, put them in a folder. I actually used to keep two, a virgin version of the worksheet and a version that I kept and submitted to my instructor when I was a student. Because you never know, somebody might come along and want a worksheet and you can just give it to them. Now the curriculum's up there, let's see what else is in the notes. Now, with the picture descriptions, as I've just said, that they are available for the download at your leisure, and I would suggest get up and get them down this weekend, folks, for all your modules. However, the picture descriptions for the final exams for both ITE and Discovery have to be requested. Normally, the exams are up for a week, as Kylie's mentioned. However, the exams that you take as your finals will be available for 8 hours at a time. We can only put them up for 8 hours, so we usually do that via appointment. And you might nominate a time, I want to sit my final exam at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday, or whatever day it is. Try and specify it in your own time zone and UTC or something if you can. And then we will send you at that time a confirmation email saying that we've activated it, and we'll send you the picture descriptions. And that way people have the correct picture description for the correct exam. At least that's theory. Now there are audio labs on that server. There are some labs in the Discovery course that are not doable outside the classroom environment, and rather tricky, if not all but impossible to do if you're vision impaired. And that is, I think it's the chapter 4, is it, Kylie, in Discovery of the cable making, or was that chapter 3?
Chapter 4 from memory.
Chapter 4, yeah, that sounds right. You'll be advised in the Discovery course to listen to that lab, and if you say that you've listened to it, you'll be deemed to have done those labs. And I think it's a lab with Kerry and a couple of others crunching cables.
I actually did it. I had a friend do it with me, and it was actually rather fun because she had had in a previous life for Dave Allen, that was Britta, who works at the Foundation of the Blind in Wellington, and she helped me to actually make a RJ45 a piece of Ethernet cable, which proved disastrous. I'm never going to take that up as a living. But also you have to punch down into a wall jack, which is actually rather fun, and that was quite a lot more successful. So, but you do learn a lot about what wires should go where, and because there are two standards involved. And we do cover a little bit of that in ITE1 as well, which I'll talk about later. But if you can find a friend to do it with, if you know someone where you can talk a computer shop into helping you, so much the better.
Thanks, Kylie. There is a site tour assignment that some of us have put out in years, days gone by. To be honest, I haven't seen it this year. You're not graded on it. It's really to prevent people from hassling us to say, where are things on the QCAT server? Come on, guys, you're all intelligent. Find it yourselves. You'll be fine. It's reasonably easy to navigate. Anyone who's got any ounce of ability to navigate a website will find stuff. So we're doing that complete site tour assignment, Kylie, or what? It's in the notes, I suppose we are. You're doing that, Kylie?
Yeah, I'll email out in the next few days. If you don't, you really don't want to send it back, that's fine. If you think that you're familiar enough with the site, but you know, if you really are a bit concerned about the site, I'd recommend that you do it. All I'm going to ask you to do is to show me around and give me details on what's available and where to find it, just so that I know that you're familiar with the site. But I'll email that out in the next few days.
Lastly, there are. This is the website where you'll download all recordings, including this lecture. I haven't looked at exactly the way Kerry structured the tree, because as I said, I just jumped in the back end of it yesterday to check a few file permissions. But essentially, you'll find your way to ITE1, and you'll find audio. What he generally does is he puts audio 2008, 2009 in those directories and leaves audio at the top. Without a year after it, so don't go thinking you'll find an audio 2011 rather, because you won't. He likes to do that so that it's near the top of the list. Same applies to Discovery. You go into Discovery, you'll find audio, and under that you'll find, in this instance, you'll just find a lease. Last year we had two courses running, one at each end of the year. One was with Kerry and Gracie, and the other one was with Elise and Jackie. So you go to audio, in that instance, you would have gone to audio, then Elise and Jackie, and then all the lectures there of MP3, and you just download the lecture. If you click on it and nothing happens, try right-clicking with the context key and going down to save target as. If you've got QuickTime installed, do that. You have to do that anyway because it hijacks your web browser. So QuickTime will try and stream it otherwise. So if you want to download it, it's always safer anyway for the Windows users to navigate to the link and use the application key and do a save target as. What else have we got here? That's about it for QCAT. Are there any questions at this point, folks?
I hope you've not all fallen asleep.
Well, we've either put them to sleep with the talk about the QCAT server, or they already know it, and we can go on to the next bit. Mailing lists. There are three mailing lists to be aware of in Cavi. They are all at the domain of gots.net. Probably not a domain I would have registered if you're talking about screen readers, because it is actually G-O-T-S-S, and I keep having to remind myself of that, because I can never remember. You'd think it was G-O-T-T-S. It's actually G-O-T-S-S. Something to do with inner gods or something, I think, is what it stood for. I don't really know. Anyway, it's because the Kerry Hoth is the guy who manages the mailing lists, and he hasn't yet transferred it over to QCAT. Anyhow, so three mailing lists are Cavi Instructors, which is where you'll be asked to, and I'll give you the addresses in a minute, where you'll be asked to email your work to. Cavi Discuss, which is the main discussion list, and Cavi Announce. Now, the main discussion list, I did it a little bit out of order. Cavi-discuss at gots.net is where you will email any general chit-chat. There's been a bit of chit-chat this week about the blind guy driving somewhere in America. Yeah, theoretically a bit off topic, but, you know, people will talk about these things. Yeah, if you've got a technical question, if you want some advice, generally to... even just to say I'm having a bit of trouble with a lab or a worksheet, or I'm having a little bit of trouble with some concept. Somebody will come back pretty quickly. It may not be your own instructor, it could be just another student, or it could even be, there are plenty of lurkers around who, for example, have been through Cavi from a few years ago and just simply don't go away. And that's probably the status I'll end up with after July anyway. So, you know, you always sort of stick around in some form. So somebody will come back who you may not even know, who is a, you know, a student or an instructor from last year or the year before, or even the year or so before that, and they might help you with your inquiry. The other one is Cavi Announce, which the instructors are able to email to, but everybody can receive. You can't email as a student. You can't email to Cavi Announce, but you can certainly see its email. And what that enables us as instructors to do is to announce things like dates, exams going up, the module exams are up for 1 week, etc. I usually do a posting that says that recordings are now available, so do the other instructors. The recordings are available because whilst we try and get them out on time, sometimes they can be a little bit delayed. So that's the Cavi Announce list, and the Cavi Instructors list is where you generally email your worksheets. And the reason we ask you to email your worksheets and labs to Cavi Instructors is because that is not seen by the rest of the community. So if you've bolted up a worksheet, it's only kept within the instructors' realm as opposed to going out to all and sundry. So it's a privacy issue there. And that address is Cavi, Cavi Instructors, C-A-V-I, dash instructors, I-N-S-T-R-U-C-T-O-R-S, at gots, G-O-T-S-S, .net. That's Cavi Instructors at gots.net. Are there any questions?
You said the Cavi Instructors, you email, you know, questions you have to them, or...
Cavi Instructors, if you have a question about a specific problem, like, for example, you're having trouble and you don't want to admit to all and sundry that you're having trouble, yeah, definitely email your instructor at cavi-instructors at gots.net.
Or just call us on Skype.
I'll just get us on Skype. I'll just email us directly. Mine's elise@lonsdalemedia.com.au. I don't care, but just stay in touch with us. If you want to have a general inquiry that you think anyone can answer, like you're in the middle of installing Windows somewhere and you want to know how much hard drive to allow the primary partition or something like that, and you know, stick out a general inquiry out on the cavi-discuss@gots.net. Does that clear it up?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Yep, yes, ma'am. Sorry about my voice. That's good. Okay. Great. Kylie, you're up.
Just to say, there's been a wee change to what we've got in the notes here. At least I've had a big talk to Grace, and I think I mentioned this about the start anyway. Grades. Right. 65% is module exams, and that includes your mandatory final, which is 20%. So there's quite a bit involved once you've set those all those exams and doing that final as well. The labs are worth 30% because there's quite a lot of work in them, and there is 5% left over for general participation and interactivity, which is a fairly arbitrary kind of mark, really. I don't know anyone who doesn't get it in any case. Okay, now how this course works is that you must pass all aspects to be able to pass the course. You can't do really well in the labs and not do so well in the exams, for instance. You've got to pass all of them to be able to be passed in the course. I won't be able to pass you otherwise. So that's something to be aware of, especially in the ITE course, because it's longer than the others. As I said, it's about 21 weeks. Now, all the courses at CAVI run for a semester for about 6 months. The courses will end at the end of July. Now, in the shorter courses, such as Discovery, you have the luxury of racing through it if you want to in the 11 weeks that Discovery will take, or you can take the whole 6 months. But because ITE one's so much longer, you don't have the luxury of falling behind, of being able to fall behind with your assignments. So I really do recommend that you keep up with those. It will be difficult because there are some chapters which have hardly any and others which have absolutely heaps. So it's going to, there are going to be some quite heavy demands on your time. Chapter 5 is what I'm thinking of. That's a very large chapter, and chapter 8. That would be the two that would be the largest as far as I can
tell. They're the fun ones.
Tell, yeah? Oh, yes. Because chapter 5 we get to play with operating systems, and chapter 8 we introduce you to the wonderful world of networking. So yeah, they are new concepts too, so it may seem a bit daunting, but please, please, please stick with it. I really do encourage you to do that. A classmate of mine was all ready to throw in the towel after a couple of weeks, but he stayed on and he passed. He was in both classes with me last year. I'm sure he wouldn't mind me saying this. He did extremely well. He actually beat me in the ITE one, but I beat him in Discovery, so...
So oh, yes, we get competitive, didn't we? Yes, I know who you're talking about.
Yes, we did, but he, you know, he was already chuck it in, yeah. Because it looked a bit daunting at the beginning, but he stayed on. So please, if you're feeling like it's all a little bit much at the beginning, and it may do that because chapter one's a bit dry, it'll take us 2 weeks to get through, stick
oh,
with
isn't
us.
It nice to be paying
and do and do talk to us, please. We don't bite, really. I mean, not much anyway. Okay, lecture attendance. I think, as I mentioned just briefly earlier, lecture attendance isn't mandatory. We understand that people have work commitments and other things, which is why we make them available for your use of the QCAT server. So if you can't attend a lecture for any reason, don't panic. Just get it off the server and you'll be fine. If you really want to attend a lecture and you can't do it on the day that our class runs, then there's always Grace and Sean's class, which happens at the same time frame, 2 days later. So the ITE one class is Tuesday's NZ time from 2 to 4. That's from midday till 2 Victoria time. That'll be from 8 till 10 Eastern time if my time's right. And from 5 till 7 Pacific time, am I right, Elise?
What are we doing, Grace and Sean's lecture?
No, this is... They're at the same time anyway, just on a different day.
I was just running what time are you doing it? Midday NZ or 2 o'clock NZ?
2 to 4 NZ, which is midday your time.
That's right. So in actual fact, that will be 8 o'clock. That will be 8 o'clock US Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, and 5 o'clock Pacific time. Right.
Yep, until daylight saving comes and bites us all in March, but we'll come to that at the time.
Yeah, because Perth doesn't have daylight saving, so we all have to shift ourselves back. But we'll get there, or forward, or whatever. It's all very confusing.
My class
anyway.
Will be staying relevant to GMT, by the way, gang. I don't know whether Kylie's going to move or not, but mine will stay relevant to GMT, which is 2100 hours.
We hadn't actually discussed that, but we will, and we'll let you know. Depending on how convenient it is for us to move.
If you want to move yours, that's fine. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
May I ask a question?
Certainly.
It's Katie, just in case people haven't got to recognise me yet. I'm wanting to know, if you wanted to push through the classes more quickly because you were bored and had nothing else to do with your time, would you be able to get through them using the lectures from second semester last year?
Oh, absolutely, Kate.
Yes.
Because we actually promote people doing that irrespective of how quickly you move through, because people often give a different perspective on it. And you'll notice last year there was quite a bit of difference between the way the two classes were presented. And that was mainly because of Jackie's and my background differing from that of the other. So it's good to do. We encourage people to have a listen to the way other people present, because there'll be things that they may discuss better than we do, or that we may discuss differently from the way they do. So, yeah, go for it. By all means, do it.
Elise, did you know you have a bit of a, after you speak, there's a little bit of a delay, and then we actually hear it again. It's almost like there's like a little delay or something.
Okay. No. Am I feedbacking off something?
I hadn't noticed.
Yeah, when you and he were talking just a couple minutes ago, I noticed that, and I just thought I'd bring it up. It's not every time.
There seems to be a little bit of feedback off someone's computer, but I'm not quite sure where.
Probably more likely to be mine, because my noise floor is quite high, unfortunately. I've got an old computer here, and what is probably contributing to it most is the computer's fan.
I had one of those once, pain in the neck.
Not that anyone really needs a fan in New Zealand. I mean, it's cool here all the time.
I thought it was just the people that were cool.
Well, that as well, Kate, of course. We won't argue with you there. But no, all computers need a fan, of course, and the computer's fan is really quite noisy. Well, this one is anyway. It never used to be, but it's now over 6 years old. So it's doing pretty well for itself. Okay, I think we've covered everything. Oh, certification. You will receive a certificate and a letter once you have completed the course. And if you wish to, you can go on and you will be prepared to sit the CompTIA A Plus exam, which is a non-vendor specific course. Cisco, of course, is vendor specific because it focuses mainly, everything we use will be Cisco or Cisco focused or Linksys. But A Plus is non-vendor specific, so it's a good qualification to go for. It's a little bit more difficult than Cisco, but we try. This course is really designed, the ITE 1 course is really designed to allow you to prepare well for the A Plus course. So you will get a certificate saying that you have completed ITE 1 and a letter once I press that button saying passed, which I'd love to do for each and every one of you. Okay. Let's look a bit more detail at the courses, and I'll ask Elise to go and tell you about her discovery course first.
Okay, thank you, Kylie. Okay, my discovery course is a course that is delivered, is a 9-module course. It's actually a short course, but it's harder. Oh, geez, you're going to get it all in one hit. Now, I can do one of two things. I can sit there and take 6 months to do it. Unfortunately, I can't do that because of other commitments. However, we will deliver the course over 11 weeks. And there's a reason for that, which I'll go into. Module 1 of the Discovery course is a big, snappy overview of ITE. And you'll probably be sitting in there tomorrow going, why did I join this course? I know all this stuff. Oh, I'm in ITE. What am I doing here? But please come anyway. It is a little bit, it's just part of the curriculum. We've got to do it. Because there are little bits in that course. I was reading the notes this morning that sort of let people know about different types of servers and how they differ from workstations, etc. And there are some pertinent things that you'll get from that lecture and reading the course notes that will make it easier when you do the exam. Module 2, I think for memory, I didn't have this in my notes, is the module on software, types of software you have on servers as opposed to types of software on workstations. And you're again going to be thinking, why am I doing this? But then watch out for Chapter 3. That's when we start putting the discovery train into a gear that goes up a hill, and that's when you'll go, oh my God, why am I here?
You're going to talk about...
Yes, Nerissa's got the lectures down from last year already. And as I said, we encourage that people do that. You've already got to Module 3, have you? Oh, that's good. And that goes into the different types of networks. Whoa, we start thinking about layered models. Not quite the layered model I like. That comes in Chapter 6, but there's another layered model there, the access layer and distribution layer and core layer and stuff, and different types of networks. Chapter 4 takes us into the cable, as was discussed before, and types of cables, and that is very important. This sort of stuff will really help you out. And Chapter 5 is another chapter that you'll be going, I'm pulling my hair out, what the heck am I doing? New concepts, very much the equivalent of Chapter 8 in this course, which is the IT course, where we're discussing the new concepts of network addressing. And we learn about 8 bits, you know, 1 byte and all that sort of stuff, and octets, and how that, you know, 255.255.255.0 relates to your Class C IP address in your computer if you're sitting there looking at your IP addressing from home. So then we do that. Chapter 6 takes us into, I remember there's more of the layered model stuff, the stuff we used to do in the old CCNA course. What was Chapter 6 about, Kylie? I can't remember. I only taught it 6 months ago. What was Chapter 6?
DNS.
DNS. Oh, all the fun stuff. Aha. That's when we start thinking about DNS and looking about how domain names work and all that sort of stuff. We might venture into traceroute and looking up domains and all that sort of fun stuff. Chapter 7's the wireless chapter in Discovery, which is a wonderful chapter. I love Chapter 7 as a student, and it tells us all about the 802.11b, g, and n standards. Talks about why everything's so cluttered up at 2.1 gigs, etc. And basically explains to you how your wireless router works at home if you're connecting via Wi-Fi. Chapter 8 is, that's a security one, isn't it, Kylie? And troubleshooting.
Yes, it is.
Yep. Chapter 8, security. And don't we all love security, which is the equivalent to Chapter 9 in the IT course. So I will be cross-referencing those as I present the Discovery course, because it is good. You might be sitting there thinking, I really want to study up on security. Where are all the security chapters? So we'll be saying it's this chapter here and that chapter there, at least I will be. And you will learn about all these things like Trojans and viruses, the differences, pop-ups, pop-unders, pop-everywhere else, and all that sort of nasty stuff that the hackers like to try and do to your computer. And then Chapter 9 is troubleshooting. Jackie's and my old hobby horse, because we're such pariahs. We've been around a long time, Jackie and I, who's not presenting with me this year, unfortunately. But we just love our troubleshooting. And that is the equivalent to whatever your Chapter 4 in IT, I think. So that's a 9-module course. There is a 10th module that reads for about 3 sentences, which we don't really present because it's just a summary, and then we'll present it over 2 weeks. 2 weeks for over 11 weeks. I beg your pardon, which is the 2 weeks for Chapter 3 and 2 weeks for Chapter 5. And hopefully by Easter or at least May, we'll be all done and dusted. Back to you, Kylie.
Thanks, Elise. Now, IT1, as I said, is a much larger course. Chapters 1 to 10 is about fundamentals. In Chapter 1, we'll introduce you to the components, the hardware components of a computer. So we'll talk about motherboards and RAM and hard drives and monitors and all that kind of stuff, and what components you should be going with what, so that you can choose the ones that will theoretically at least build a machine.
No, I think you're there.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry about that. Chapter 1 is all about computer componentry and hardware and choosing the right matching parts, basically. We'll take 2 weeks to do that. Now, I do apologise in advance, it is a bit dry, and for a first off it can seem a little bit daunting. I will do my best not to make it that way, but just stick with it, please do. Chapter 2 is all about safety. And that's safety at work, safety with equipment, because computer equipment is actually more sensitive than you might think. So we show you how to be safe when you're working with computer equipment, how to maintain and clean it. And I also hope to have someone in who has done, who works for a company which has achieved a gold standard in EnviroMark, which means, among other things, that they know how to dispose of their waste, including computer waste, well. So I hope that he will be able to talk generally about how to dispose at home of all the computer parts which have nasties like lead and other compounds in them safely. We'll also do a little bit of preventive maintenance in that chapter too. Chapter 3, and oh, there's a lab in chapter 2 which is a disassembly, but what we may do is combine that with chapter 3 lab, which is a computer assembly. Chapter 3 is all about how to put together a computer. Now that you know what parts to choose, you can start to assemble the machine. And we'll go through how to do that and all the ins and outs. Chapter 4 is troubleshooting. And there are a number of steps that you can follow, that you need to follow, so that you can successfully find out what's going on with your computer or with the computers of others that you may be helping. There are no worksheets or assignments for Chapter 4 because from then on you will see that there are troubleshooting and preventive maintenance sections in every one of the subsequent chapters. So they don't give you any assignments for Chapter 4. Chapter 5 makes up for that because it's on operating systems, and by then we probably will have received material from Cisco on Windows 7. It isn't present in the curriculum as it stands at the moment, but we do expect to receive it in the next few weeks or couple of months even. So there will, Chapter 5 is probably likely to be even bigger than it already is. And you get to do all kinds of things in Chapter 5, including mucking around with the event viewer, all sorts of good stuff. Learning how to install an operating system using the default settings is the main branch of that. Chapter 6 is a little bit on laptops, introduces you to those and the differences between laptops and desktops, and there are some quite fundamental ones. Excuse me. Chapter 7. Sorry about that, the vacuum cleaner was going. Chapter 7 is all about printers, the various types of printers that are available. And how they work, how the different ones work. You'll need to know, for instance, how a laser printer works, and there is a formula for learning that. It's actually really quite an amazing thing when you think about it. Chapter 8 is the security fundamentals chapter of... No, it's the network. It's the fun one. That's what it is for me anyway.
Yes, 8's
good. It's another big one. We talk about IP addressing and the basic fundamentals of network, the different types of what's ADSL, what's cable, all those kinds of things. We introduce you to all that fun stuff. But we don't do binary, so if you've done discovery and you can get through binary, I'm sure you'll survive Chapter 8 of ITE1. But there are new concepts, so be good to yourselves. Don't expect to take it on all in one big bite, because it can be a little challenging, especially if this is your first time. And then World of Networking. Chapter 9 is the security chapter, and we again discuss all those nasties that Elise mentioned. And Chapter 10 is Elise's favourite one, of communications. Ha ha. And
you're okay.
At that time, I hope to get someone in from the industry to talk about what they would look for if you were applying for a job in help desk. I try to use all the contacts that I can, because I'm sure that you don't just want to hear me yakking at you for the next 21 weeks. Somewhere in there, there'll be an Easter break, by the way, so we will be breaking for that. It'll give you a bit of a breather and chance to catch up on worksheets or not, or have a holiday or whatever. Chapters 11 to 16 are the advanced chapters, and basically we go through more. It's more of the same, but a little bit more advanced than what you've been doing. It's basically what it involves. So yeah, it's a pretty full-on course. As I said before, unlike discovery and exploration, which are both shorter, you don't have the luxury of being able to fall behind with assignments, because we take up so much more of the 6 months actually doing the lectures. So if you can keep up, that would help you to achieve your goal in that 6 months. Of course, if you don't, you can always come back and finish the next time round, but yeah, if you want to achieve in that 6 months, it's best to keep up with the assignments. Okay. Okay, contact protocols. Some of these we've mentioned throughout this lecture anyway. But basically, my Skype, as I said before, is kylie-the-celt with a K. My email address is kylie, K-Y-L-E-E. Actually, I have two. The one up on the Cisco site is kylie@actrix. kylie@timeless.net.nz will also get me. So one of those will get me. kylie@timeless.net.nz is the one I primarily use. So if you want to email me about a particular problem you have or you want to discuss something, then feel free. Now, I keep pretty odd hours here because this is a shift working household and my sister works shifts. So if you don't find me on Skype, email me. If you find me on Skype, text me first in case I'm already helping someone else out, just to make sure that you're not cutting into someone else's call. So that's pretty easy. Now, as to marking worksheets and things like that, I'm one person and this is quite a sizable class. So when you send the worksheets into the instructor's email address, please don't expect them to get them back absolutely instantly, because as I said, there's only me. Elise is here to supervise me and she may help me, you know, if I need it, which is fine, but basically it's really down to me. So please try to be a little bit patient with me on that score. I will get them back to you, it's just that it's not going to happen right then and there. So please don't hassle me with, hey, where are my worksheets, because they will come back to you. I wouldn't be any kind of an operator if I didn't do that, so just trust me that will happen. I think that's about it. Elise, did you have anything to add?
No, I think that's it. Pretty much the same here with the discovery. I'll be marking the discovery worksheets. I may need to assist Kylie with hers, which I'm happy to do at her request. I can probably help out too with people who want exam results to be checked. If we can, we try and offer a service where we, but again, it's given on how much time everyone's got, how well people went in the exams. We will log in and go through the answers with you. If you've passed, we'll tell you the answers for the questions you got wrong, because there'll inevitably be a few of those. If you haven't passed, we will ask you to resit that exam. And with the module exams, you've got three goes. If you have three goes and you're still not over the pass mark, which is 75% as a student, you will probably end up in a discussion and we'll work with you to find out how you're going and find out if we can be of any further assistance. So the system is keyed at the moment. We set the instructor profiles up yesterday to allow three goes at an exam for a student, and any further goes would be after a conversation with an instructor. Again, my Skype is my own space, but I use it for CAVI as well. I was advised to have a number of Skypes way back when, but no, I just like one, which is good. And it is Elise_Lonsdale, I'll spell it for you, Elise_Lonsdale, Lonsdale. And again, you know, if you call us and we're in the middle of a conversation, it's probably best to text first, so that you, because you know, I use it for my private usage as well. Be mindful of time zone differences. However, having said that, I'm keeping somewhat Ontario time partially at the moment, and I have this hybrid arrangement going between Melbourne and Ontario, so you will find me on at odd hours, and that's fine. So just whenever you see me on, basically, whenever you see me lit up and available, text me and we'll see if we can render assistance. I think that's almost about it. Hey, Kylie?
Yeah, I think it is. If you want to discuss exam results, the best way to do that, as far as I'm concerned, is to email me personally. Just put your exam results in the email and I will get back to you. You'll get the screen. Just select all in that screen. Stick it in a notepad, tidy it up a bit if you want to, and just send me it and I'll get back to you to discuss the results. Does anyone have any questions? Grace is running an ITE class this year also, and as I said earlier, if you really, really want to attend a lecture and you can't make it on our day, then Grace holds hers. It's 2 days later at the same time, Grace, is that right?
That's right. It will be in a couple hours from now. It's 9 o'clock Perth time. anyone is always, always welcome to come and talk to us and come to our lecture and ask questions. Always welcome. You're always welcome to ask me or my other instructor, Sean, for any help you might need if someone is not online or busy, and we are. And I'm going to say the same thing to my other class, that if I'm not there, Kylie is as good as anyone to ask questions to or Elise. So absolutely, if you guys can't make lecture or want to ask questions or are just bored and can't sleep at night, come to our lecture.
Can I just reiterate, please, for those in listener land who don't who have not set up their Cisco login yet, please, please, please get in touch with me ASAP, because it is vital that you have a Cisco account. You cannot proceed with this course unless you do.
I have a question.
Go ahead. Yep.
Are both IT1 courses, meaning Mondays and Wednesdays, or rather Tuesdays and Thursdays, I guess it is for Australian time, is that going to be, are both of those courses going to have the MP3s for the same lecture, or how will that work? Can I get both, or how does
Absolutely.
That go?
Yes, you can download as many as you like. Everything is available. You can even download the Discovery lectures and listen to those if you want to. There are a few things on the QCAT site that are restricted, but it will tell you if it's restricted access. Otherwise, it's available for you.
Because I'm going to need all the help I can get, I have a feeling.
Well, that's why we say either attend other lectures and or download them. And also download last year's lectures and have a listen to those too, as we said before. And as I said, in the QCAT server, the IT part of it will be broken up with under the audio section. We'll probably have a directory there called Kylie, and it will probably have a directory there called Carrie and Grace. No, it's going to be Sean and Grace, I do believe, this year. So it'll have the directory that will be relevant to your instructor. So if you are going to download another instructor's course or audio, you'll know when you go through the navigation. And as we said, it's fine for you to do that.
But please, I can't say this often enough. Don't be stewing on your own. If you're having trouble, talk to us. That's what we're here for.
You have my Skype ID now, so all is well. I can chat you.
You certainly can. No problem there. Well, I think that's about wraps it up, people. Thank you very much for coming. It's good to see you all here. And for those of you who are listening, I hope to meet you in my class on Tuesday and Elisa's tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Thanks very much, Kylie.
Yep, tomorrow for Discovery. So we were originally going to start IT this week, but we've got a delay in that. So that starts next week, but I'm sticking to my original schedule. So that starts tomorrow, gang.
Okay, see you tomorrow.
Good morning,
thanks,
Kylie, and everybody else.
I'm Marshall Brother, sorry.
Good morning, David.
Hi, David, and thanks, Paul, and thanks, Larissa, and thanks everybody who joined in today, but we'll see you all tomorrow and as we go through the next few months.
So you said the IT course for us is not going to start until
next week.
Monday, which is your Monday Louisiana time, I think.
Monday at 8 Eastern.
Do you want to come up on Skype, girlfriend, and we'll have a debrief?
Yep, do it.
Okay, well, thanks, guys. I'm out of here now. I'll see you up on Skype in a minute.
Yeah, sure, Kay.